Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. Today's episode is Labor Day Surprises. We are here with Sarah Wright Olson and Daniela Rua and her husband, David Olson, and a bunch of babies. Oh, and Brian Hertzinger.
Wow. That's
an appropriate order.
One of the babies.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's get into the juicy details. You, Danny, and Dave, you told me you found out you were breached just a few days before your baby Sierra was born.
Correct.
Came into the office. We tried to do some chiropractic and massage and adjusting, which usually we do 3 or 4 times. You gave me one shot.
No, she gave you one shot.
She gave me one shot. And then that was like on a Friday, I feel like, just before Labor Day.
Yes.
And the next time I connected with you was?
At Sunday at 2 a.m.
Like 2 o'clock in the morning on Labor Day. Shot a quick text saying, hey, any chance you're awake? And I said, sure, what's up?
We have to preface this. I had an OB who I absolutely adored. He's a wonderful, wonderful physician. But he unfortunately only does C-sections when it comes to breech births. And mm-hmm. I had openly told him, you know, I'm healthy, baby's healthy. I'd love to try this as a vaginal birth. I really don't want to resort to a C-section unless we really, really have to. So he said, I can recommend another physician to you or you can have a home birth. And so I never got the recommendations because we were, you know, weeks out from the birth. And so, so I kind of went home and we tried to turn her, et cetera, et cetera. And then on Sunday of Labor Day weekend at 1:30 in the morning, my water broke. And I went into active labor because the contraction started.
Was it like a very big obvious gush or was it like...
I was sleeping. Dave fell asleep on the couch in the living room watching TV and I was in bed at 1:30 in the morning. And I just felt this, warm water gush. And I just opened my eyes and I was like, oh crap, I know what this means. And in fact, because I didn't get contractions with River when my water broke, I was just hoping that I would with her because mm-hmm. I really didn't want to get induced again. So I got up and I, took my wet pants and myself to the living room to go and wake up Dave. And he's like, what's up? What's going on? I said, I think my water just broke. And Dave exhaled and then said, but can we labor at home like we planned for a little bit before we go to the hospital? I was like, no, sweetie, the water broke. We really, it's time to hustle because we don't have bags packed. We have River. My mom was on a plane on her way to us, she would be there supposedly for the birth. Luckily, Dave's parents were in town just for that weekend.
But also, nor did you have a doctor.
Nor did I have a doctor, which is why I have such a pregnancy brain. Thank you. Which is why at this point, I had no doctor. But I still, I called my original OB and I said, hey, I need that recommendation.
You called him at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I think I called him either right before or right after you. Okay. I think it was before I contacted
sometime
you.
Sometime early in the morning, on Sunday morning.
So I texted you, I texted my doula, and I called the doctor, and I said I need that recommendation.
Wait, did you have the doctor's phone number?
No. I called his answering service, and he called me back.
I was going to say, I need to have a conversation with Dr. Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
No. No. I didn't. Anyway, so the three of you basically came up with one name in common. You all had different recommendations, but one name was common amongst you, Dr. Crane. And so I called him, and I left a voicemail and said, hi, you don't know me. And my water broke. I have a breech baby. I know that you deliver vaginally, and I really want to try it out. It's my second child. Please, 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 I beg you, call me back.
You called his office?
I called the answering service that I just found. I googled him.
Oh, you googled him and called his answering service.
Yeah, or maybe you or my doula sent me the number, but it was for the office regardless. But he calls me back from his cell phone and asks me all the questions necessary. And he said,
how soon after you left the message?
15 minutes, 20 amazing. Minutes, something like that.
Well, in the middle of the night on a weekend.
Oh, and because because he hadn't called me back, in my mind, those 15 minutes felt like an eternity because I'm like, I'm going to have this baby in my bedroom with no help.
Right.
So at that point, I texted you and you recommended yet another doctor who I also spoke to. But in the meantime, Dr. Crane called me back and asked me all the questions necessary. He said, you're a perfect candidate because of your height and it's your second child and your firstborn was not a very big baby. It's 37 weeks. So for a bunch of reasons, it seemed appropriate to try, give this a shot. So he said, meet me in my office, call me when you're 10 minutes out. And that's what we did. I was literally running around the house with an app that I downloaded at the moment so I could time my contractions. And, so I was running around packing my own bag, even when he was on the phone with me asking me questions, I was like, give me 1 second, just breathing through a contraction.
I was just going to ask you, did you have contractions?
Oh, yeah, I was having contractions. And they moved along very quickly, actually. They were, you know, at first 10 minutes apart, but within an hour, they were, you know, maybe 5 minutes apart. And it was pretty quick.
Whoa.
So I was trying to get a box of snacks ready for River to eat at the hospital because all of a sudden, you know, we don't have somebody to stay with us or to take him somewhere else.
You were not originally planning to have him at your birth?
No.
And he didn't end up coming?
He was at the hospital until my mother-in-law arrived.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And, you know, and I'll tell you how that felt to have him there in a second. But anyway, so I'm running around trying to put a box of snacks together for him and literally, like, going down to the floor into fetal position, breathing through a contraction, and then, you know, looking at my watch going, okay, I've got 3 minutes to get this done and get myself in the car before the next contraction comes.
Right.
So, or 4 minutes, whatever it was. So I was hustling, and then in the car, I just kind of like, you know, kind of like Sarah did too. I was sitting in the front seat with my seatbelt on, but facing the back. River was in this seat, not really understanding why mommy was doing this through contractions. And Dad's like, River, tell mommy she's doing a great job. You know, we're trying to keep it positive for him, not to be scared of these like visceral noises that I'm making.
So you didn't prep him at all for being at a birth?
Well, I didn't really
expect it. Has he seen birth videos or anything like that?
No, no.
Okay.
No,
so
we didn't at all. Nothing. He was supposed to stay home with my mom had she, you know, had everything happened in time. And so we got to the hospital, and I was still very conscious. I got to the doctor's
office.
He checked me. He said, you're at 4 centimeters,
oh, wow.
Which I was really happy about because everything was, you know, it felt what it felt like, but it was bearable. And, so he said, I'll see you in the hospital in 20 minutes. And my doula had met me at the doctor's office, too. So we went to the hospital, and River and Dave were there. And during a contraction, at some point, Dave told River to come hold my hand. I can't remember exactly what you said, but basically you put River next to me and put him close to me. And I'm not kidding. It actually helped the pain.
Yeah.
It was a very, very conscious help to the pain to have him hold my hand and stroke my hair and tell me that I was doing a great job, mommy.
Where was Dave during this? What's going on?
No, Dave and they were both in the room with me. They were both right next to me.
Were you doing the hair stroking thing too?
No, River was. But
were you eating
Dave
the boxes
was just
snacks,
making, controlling the situation.
Dave, what were you watching on TV when this all happened?
I was just there.
No, you weren't. You were holding my hand the whole time.
I think it's fascinating, though, that you, I mean, this night timeline was amazing to me. I love hearing the story because you went to the doctor's office.
Right, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
At 4 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was 5 when we got there.
Okay. And then, but then you end up meeting him at the hospital.
Which is not far away.
No.
No, it's like five minutes away.
But it's kind of amazing. In very few towns do you even find doctors who do vaginal breech birth anymore. You basically had a choice of three that night. You narrowed down one because you wanted to do hospital birth. And then you had two that you were kind of back and forth with.
Yeah.
None of whom you had ever met before, but all available to to take you on if you met their criteria. And then, you like go to the doctor's office in the middle of Beverly Hills at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
And you're like, I'm 4 centimeters.
And you're contracting.
I'm so excited.
And you're already 4 centimeters.
I was just happy that my body was doing what it was supposed to do without any help.
Unexpectedly,
that's what I was happy about.
Have your kid with you.
Yeah.
You know. It's just, Labor Day surprise, I think, is a good title. There were more surprises than I even knew about. Had you guys talked about breech birth before?
Had we talked about it?
I mean, you knew you were breech, but, I mean, did you look into, like, the different pros and cons of vaginal versus cesarean?
We talked so extensively about how we would ideally deal with birth. You know, had I started contractions without the water breaking, we knew that we wanted to stay home as long as possible.
We had a meeting with the doula to go through the planned birth of where to labor, when to go in, if there's traffic, all this other stuff. There was an established plan that was pretty good. And then when it was breech, kind of all hell broke loose because we didn't have anything. Then when Sunday came and at 1:30 in the morning she wakes me up from the couch, I thought to myself, ooh, if I'd fallen asleep in the bed, this might not have happened. That was my first thought. We had no doctor. We had nothing. So between 1:30.
No traffic.
That's true, which is
rare. That is true. You were worried about the traffic.
It was Sunday on Labor Day weekend and in the middle of the night. No traffic. Which was our biggest concern because we live far away from Cedars, which is where we delivered.
Yeah.
And we had toured Cedars. She had selected Cedars. And the fact that we, like you said, found the doctor, that would do a vaginal breech birth on a Sunday, and he didn't have another patient, and he was available. I mean, to even do it was, the stars were kind of aligned.
Yeah, a lot of things came together.
Yeah.
Had you guys seen the documentary we made about
breech? I did. Not Bottoms Up. What is it called?
Heads Up.
Heads Up.
Bottoms Up would have been great. No problem
that's
with Bottoms
sequel,
Up.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry. Yes.
Bottoms up is right after this podcast.
They're both expressions. I had seen it for sure. And I remember Dr. Paul Crane was on there, actually.
Yeah.
But
he's very comfortable with breech. You already had a vaginal birth, and that's his big
exactly.
thing. He's very comfortable. He's done many of them. And
you know what? At the end of that documentary was what I think was a big part of sealing the deal for me in doing it unmedicated, because the video that you show at the end of a woman delivering a breech birth vaginally on her bed at home was so peaceful. And I know that doesn't always happen in all births. I mean, some women are louder than others, whatever it is. But it just gave me confidence that this could actually be a reality and a positive one, too. And another thing also was when I was with Dr. Crane in his office, and after he checked me, he said, you're 4 centimeters. And then he says, I don't know if I'd already told him I wanted to do this unmedicated or not, but he says, I don't usually push the epidural unless the mom wants it, but I think you're perfectly capable of doing this unmedicated. Mm. And to hear that from my doctor, which was a big contrast from the doctor who delivered River, it was a huge deal for me. So having the confidence of my husband, having the confidence of my doctor and my doula, of course,
which
like all of that
empowering.
Together, I was like, I can actually do this. I have the village and the team of people that I need to make this happen. So as Dave said, the stars just kind of aligned, even though it was a, heads up situation.
Yeah, a little surprise. How was the how was that actual experience of pushing your baby out? You can't compare it exactly to your first because you were medicated the first time. But was there, there's such a fear society around birth in general and breech even more so. Mm-hmm. And it's not, not everybody who's breech is a good candidate for vaginal birth. I'd never suggest that anybody who's breech just go into it lightly. But you can always explore the option.
Yeah.
Some people are great candidates, some people not good candidates, and there's everything in between. The film is headsupfilm.com. It's called Heads Up, The Disappearing Art of Vaginal Breech Delivery, and your Dr. Paul Crane is in there, along with a few others. And the goal is not to really encourage people to have a vaginal breech birth, but to know that it's an option and to be able to have that option available to them if they're a good candidate. Probably one of the greatest candidates.
But one thing I will say for anybody who's listening and who is interested in having a vaginal breech birth is that there's, or actually an unmedicated birth in general, which is, and I know Sarah went through this too, she can describe it herself, but I definitely went through this, and it was very much watching Sarah do it too, which is informing yourself as much as possible. It's reading the most positive stories you can find about what you're about to do. Watching positive videos, really kind of, not allowing yourself to ever fall into the negativity of some stories, which are not as positive. But those are not as common as one would think. It's like we grow up in this world watching movies where women are screaming to death, having babies, pushing them out. And you grow up thinking this is something I have to go through in order to have my baby in my arms versus an amazing experience and journey that will lead to this wonderful baby in my arms. I read as much as I could and watched as many beautiful videos as I could, peaceful ones. Even if my birth wouldn't end up being, that silent, I had that in the back of my head.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby. Not even diaper rash. Was it noisy?
My birth?
Yeah.
I want to say during the, but Dave's nodding his head.
It was noisy.
Whatever you do with your face and your jaw, you know, if it's tense up here, then you're going to be tense down there too.
Yeah.
And so I made a very conscious effort to try and keep my face relaxed through all the contractions. And then another thing too is your throat. If you're making low visceral sounds, like that, everything's open. If you start going up into this like, your throat is closed. You know what I mean? Because you have to close your throat to make that high-pitched sound. And that's going to happen down there, too. And so I remember maybe in the more intense parts of it, I was starting to make higher-pitched sounds. And my doula literally went, Danny, Danny, low sounds, low sounds. And she brought me back down to the pit of, you know, my core, which kind of helped me relax all over again. And listen, I'm not going to pretend it didn't hurt. Of course it hurt. Like, your body is doing something incredible. But it was an experience that I would absolutely go through again, in all honesty.
Was there panic?
Was
nobody around? Dr. Crane was relaxed. The nurses relaxed.
Everybody was relaxed. Dr. Crane never even left the room.
Oh, yeah, he's
my eyes were shut the
whole
time.
He's one of a kind. I mean, you're also the doctor that you switched from is also kind of amazing.
Right.
And he's, you know, most doctors would be like, no, I don't do breech and you shouldn't do breech. And he's not like that. He's like, I don't do breech, but there are people who do breech.
Right.
I feel like that's the way it's supposed to be. That's true informed consent.
Right.
I was just at a breech birth at Cedars last week, and also her second baby. And it was a little more chaotic because her doctor was coming from the valley. And when we got into the hospital, she was only a few centimeters. And within 20 minutes, she was complete. So they originally told her doctor, you know, nah, go back to sleep. It was in the middle of the morning, too. She's only 4 or 5 centimeters. And then they called him in a panic. They're like, oh, she's already 9, almost 10 centimeters. And a whole bunch of people ran in. They were terrified. What would happen if the baby would come out breech? And he wasn't there yet. And so they were just kind of like, hold it in, hold it. You know, they were saying don't push, but that essentially means hold it in. The baby's
That's
just naturally coming
earlier,
out.
Earlier, your body's going to push it out when it's ready to push out, regardless of what effort you make.
It was kind of neat because she was open to having people come in and watch because there's not a lot of breech delivery going on. This is another doctor, Dr. Brock, who is on our breech podcast, who is doing a lot of them now, and the residents want to learn. They're curious over there. So she was like, you know, I don't care. Just whoever wants to come is fine. And she didn't have a doula. It was just me. I was coaching her. And
You are a doula.
I am a doula, but sometimes I do body work and there's a doula there.
Right. Yeah.
She had her best friend who was amazing. And it was me. And I was looking at her, working with her breathing. And when I originally started in that room, there were like 3 people in the room. And I didn't even realize. I turned around and there were literally 25 people in there.
Wow.
And it was cool that they all wanted to experience it and see it. But I was like, where did these 25 people even come from? It was 5 o'clock in the morning. There were some labor and delivery nurses. There was a couple of pediatric nurses. I think there were 2 helpful Honda guys. I'm not sure how they got in there.
Are they sponsoring you? Because they should.
It just seemed like everybody was in there. But it was like a neat birth. And it was like almost like nobody was panicky. It would just seem like. Yeah. There was almost like thunderous applause when the baby came out.
How many people were in the room for us, Dave? Because my eyes were closed the whole time, to be honest with you, because I was sort of in the zone. But I hear that there was a few pediatricians,
etc. About 15 people.
Was there really?
Yeah, it got pretty busy in there. Well, no, and just like Dr. Berlin said, they all wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a whole staff of pediatricians in there.
But I guess
as soon as they heard the baby cry, they all left.
Yeah, they bring for breech births at that hospital, they always bring a pediatric team. And
that
each one has like a different, this one is like the resuscitator. And this one is each one has a goal. And if they need anything, boom, it happens right away.
Yeah.
But as soon as the baby looks great, they just take
That's
off.
Good.
And it's a lot, by the time you come to, it's a lot more quiet.
Yeah. One of the things I do remember Dr. Crane saying, he said something about episiotomy. I don't know if he asked me or if he asked for the scalpel. I don't know what he how that came up. I just heard the word episiotomy, and I just remember like just saying, nope, no, thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we can, all right, I will determine this as we go along. Then I said, that's fine. And fortunately, I did not tear at all. No stitches, no nothing, which is miraculous. With River, I got one stitch, but, and another thing that really, really helped was Dave made me laugh during some of these contractions. He's pulling faces, but he did, and it really did help.
Maybe it wasn't intentional.
It was intentional.
Oh. Well, talk to us about the comedy. Was it jokes? Or was it
no? Yeah. He just
stories that
so
were funny.
So Dave and I have this thing where like, if he's doing something, I'm like, can you stop doing that, please? He'll be like, oh, I'm gonna keep doing it now. You know, and you know, in that situation, it felt so ridiculous to me. So every time I was, you know, on a not having a contraction, I had 2 minutes to rest and just, you know, recover energy. And Dave was like, babe, are you hungry? Do you need a snack? Do you want water? I'm like, no, I just need to sleep. I love you. Stop talking to me. And then a few minutes later, he'd be like, babe, do you want some water? I was like, no, I honestly, you need to stop talking. I love you so much. Stop talking to me. I don't want to talk right now. And then at some point, he gets really close to my face. He's like, hey, babe, you want to talk? You need some water? I was like, oh my gosh, please leave me alone. But it was so ridiculous that he would do this in my mind in a moment like this where I'm supposed to be so focused that he just broke me out of that, you know, I need to focus.
Getting
I need
in
to
your
focus.
Head.
Yeah,
you
I was getting in my head.
Head
and he
yeah.
helped me probably unknowingly really totally yeah. relax and just laugh for a second.
I think, Dave, I'm sometimes overbooked and some people want other male doulas, I think.
Yeah.
You have some side gigs for you.
You're going to be the male doula.
Dave, the silent
the
doula.
You should make
doula
it say audibly no right now.
Yeah.
I said yes.
He said yes. Great. My husband's going to be seeing other naked women. Woo.
All right. In a moment, we're going to take a break and then come back with Sarah's Labor Day surprise. But Dave, any final word on this experience from your perspective?
It was kind of amazing. It was sad. In a way that other people don't get the chance, that it's kind of a lowest common denominator sort of thing. I'm sure you'll talk about that later.
Other chance because the baby's breech?
Because it's automatically what they resort to. And right. It's kind of, I was in the military and the lowest common denominator makes all the rules. So if someone drinks a car battery full of acid on base, they're gonna ban all the car batteries on base. That's a fictitious, you know, story, but you know, the breaches are going away. And our experience was so, it couldn't be any better, you know. And the candidates, obviously, the protocol to decide if someone can be breech is there. And if it is allowable to be breech, like our experience was so easy and so great that had she been under the knife, you know, that would have been quite unnecessary. So that's the only thing.
Yeah. It's true. And sometimes people just come into the hospital and they didn't even know they were breech and they're progressing very quickly and the baby's coming out and they don't know what to do. The younger and younger doctors, as the older ones who have that breech experience retire, they don't know what to do. And so it happens where they literally have to push the baby back in.
I just heard a woman talk about this the other day where she said that they were like, oh, they had to push my baby back inside of me so that they could
do a C-section and pull it out.
I can't imagine the horror of that. All I know is that if there is a natural disaster and the hospital is out of play and a woman is breech and is going into labor, no one's going to know how to deliver this baby.
Right.
If the knife is not a possibility because there's no hospital functioning in that moment.
The good news is, and it's in its early stages, but there is another hospital here, California Hospital, where you almost
That's where I almost went.
They have enough doctors who do breech, and they're just recruited another doctor who does breech, and we're going to actually go show our film there next week to all of the medical staff and have a big discussion about it. Yeah. They're very open. They want to be able to offer that choice, and they want to sort of be able to set up 24/7 coverage, so no matter who comes there or when they come there.
I just don't know how young doctors wouldn't want to learn, just even if out of curiosity. It's a fascinating event.
Well, part of the problem is we don't have the capacity to teach because it's not happening. So you need to see a lot of them and be hands-on with a lot of them to have the comfort.
I guess so. What is it, 4% of births are breached?
4% are breached, so 160,000 in the United States every year, which is a lot. It's one every 4 minutes across the country. But in a city like Los Angeles, we have so many births, and Cedars-Sinai alone has around 8,000 or 9,000 births a year. So 4% of that are breached. You know, there's
Cedar
enough.
Cedars is fantastic.
Who was Cedars?
Cedars-Sinai was just a fantastic place to give birth. The staff, the nurses.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly.
You were there too. I love their their Jello. They have really good Jello, among other things. All right, we're gonna come back and hear Sarah's epic birth story.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.